Let's unpack all of this with our correspondent, Simon Marks. He joins us now from Washington, D.C. Simon, the situation right now is rather unique. You know, in recent cases, federal judges have often sided with the U.S. government when it raised concerns of national security. But this time, it also involves issues around the First Amendment, around free speech. So where does this leave Mr. Trump's campaign against Chinese companies and their alleged influence in the U.S.?
Well, no question, Teresa, that it leaves the Trump administration in a very different place this Sunday evening in Washington than they expected to be. They thought that tonight they would be telling Google and Apple to deplatform WeChat, to remove the apps from their app stores, and to make sure that any American that had WeChat on their telephones or on their iPads would not be able further to maintain the app and update it when new versions were made available. Instead, the Justice Department tonight is having to decide whether to appeal this decision by a federal judge in Northern California. And she seems to have been swayed by a couple of different issues. First of all, the argument that the plaintiffs brought, and the plaintiffs are a group of WeChat users here in the United States, led by some prominent Chinese-American lawyers, that by banning the app, the Trump administration would essentially be cutting off free speech, given that this is a lifeline, they argue, for communication between them and their family members and business associates back in China. So the judge appeared to accept the First Amendment argument, and she also said that she was particularly mindful of the fact that this action by the Trump administration very narrowly appeared to impact Chinese citizens in the United States, Chinese Americans and other legal residents of the United States originally from China in a disproportionate manner, because, of course, WeChat is very heavily used by that community as opposed to others. So the Trump administration now has to decide whether to go ahead and appeal. I mean, given the language, particularly that the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has used about WeChat over the last few weeks, accusing it of being absolutely a tool of the Chinese Communist Party to gather information about American citizens and to gather their personal data, I mean, one would imagine that the Trump administration is going to appeal that decision. But there's no word on that yet for now. And as a result, WeChat remains operational here in the United States.
And Simon, over the weekend, we've also seen Mr. Trump's about face on the TikTok and Oracle deal, resulting in a ban on the video app being delayed as well. I mean, what's your read on this? Is it a sign that the decision is more of a political one than business?
Well, you know, it's hard to know if it really was an about face or whether the threat to deplatform TikTok as opposed to WeChat was actually designed by the president to put a bit more pressure on those negotiations that were underway between Oracle and ByteDance over the future of TikTok's U.S. operations. President Trump said here on Saturday he was now satisfied that the new company will be headquartered in Texas. It will, he said, be completely independent and safe from the prying eyes of the Chinese. How he knows this, precisely what changed behind the scenes over the last few days, we do not know. The president says this is going to create thousands of new jobs here in the United States. At the end of the day, it always seemed that the plan to go after TikTok, as opposed to WeChat, was a much higher risk strategy for a president 40 odd days away from America's presidential election. TikTok here in the United States is wildly popular with younger users, and some of them will be first time voters in this presidential election. So it always seemed a bit of a risky strategy for the Trump administration to take away their favorite app. Now they're going to be allowed to keep it.
All right, Simon, thank you very much. That was our U.S. correspondent, Simon Marks, from Washington, D.C.